In this week's Wikipedia Wonders, we discuss a man who never received a yellow or red card during his 16-year career.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers with myself, Dave and Josh. And today is a man in the news quite a lot at time of recording, which is quite strange for us to be on point, topical, I guess. Gary Lineker, Josh, Gary Lineker.
Yeah, and from never receiving a yellow or red card in his playing career, it seems like he's been somewhat suspended in his TV career currently.
I see what you've done there, very nice. He's got a smirk on his face, ladies and gentlemen. He's very happy with that. So, yes, let's touch early on his career. Let's start at the beginning, you know, born. Tell me about his birth.
So he was breached, so he had to be, I don't know. He was born, great middle name, Winston, named after...
Fine, now of one famous Winston, Churchill.
Do we know any other Winston? Winston Reed?
Oh, Winston Reed, he wouldn't, but he's older than Winston Reed, isn't he?
It's true.
Do I know another Winston?
Was Winston Reed named after Gary Lineker's middle name? Interesting fact. It's wrong guy, Nick.
Yeah, check that. Do I know another famous Winston? I don't think I do.
Doesn't say anything about Gary Lineker on Winston's page.
But yeah.
The jury's out. But Gary Lineker, yeah, born 1960, so now age 62. And start up as a kind of similar to a number of English footballers actually, with that cricket football decision to make in their youth. So we have Phil Neville, who Andrew Flintoff has spoken about. If he had gone down the cricket route, Andrew Flintoff wouldn't have been the great all-rounder Phil Neville would have done.
Yeah.
We have Ian Botham, obviously appeared, had a football appearance. We had someone else, we talked about it on the pod, I can't quite remember.
We have had someone else.
Yeah. But Gary had made a decision, he chose football, and I'll say the rest is history. So we have Leicester City, his youth career, and then Leicester City in the time when he played, it was second division, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, he starts off second division, 1978, couple of seasons of the second division, promoted to first division, relegated again. So he spends overall kind of 6-7 seasons at Leicester, flipping between the first and second division.
Yeah,
and so I, not knowing that, because Gary kind of talked about Leicester, talked about Tottenham, talked about Barcelona, talked about Everton. Doesn't really mention Nagoya Grampus 8, but Leicester's clearly his you know, boyhood club from the area. He linked with Leicester, so he was part of a consortium that helped get him, like, stave off bankruptcy. He advertises Walker's Crisps for the Leicester-based company.
Yeah,
and so yeah, that is his roots. And what I didn't realise in his Leicester career, he was partnered with Alan Smith up front. I know he was an Arsenal striker.
Yeah, Arsenal, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, but no, Alan Smith had a career at Old Church, Leicester for 5 years, and then Arsenal for 8 years. So 200 appearances he made for Leicester, 76 goals.
Very nice. Alan Smith's an interesting... What do you think, what are your thoughts on Alan Smith as a commentator?
Okay. Just okay, really.
I think of him as a commentator, like, you know, you get radio presenters that have such a unique voice. You think the only reason you're on radio is because you've got that unique voice. That's what I feel like Alan Smith is like. You're only a commentator because of your voice, because it's so different to everyone else's. I can't describe it, but yeah.
He's got a slight speech impediment as well, which is quite good that he's not holding back. And yeah, I think there's been only an R's bit, I think, in there.
Okay. Well, I've never noticed it,
I think he does well to hide his potential Arsenal bias, because he's often on Spurs games, and I don't feel like he's... How natural that comes, really, that he hasn't really got that... He would probably have some Arsenal bias. He's obviously won with Arsenal. He won the league twice with Arsenal, the FA Cup, the League Cup. So it's there. Do you know what? Commentary is actually an area I thought, you know what? I wouldn't mind getting into commentary. There's a route into football.
Yeah, I think it could be. You'd be data. You'd be signed up, but you'd be snapped up by a lower league club as a data analyst and do a really good job and climb the ladder. That's what I reckon you could do. Yeah.
What would your route would be, Dave?
Management, coaching. I think that's what I've always wanted to. Like, I mean, I manage a team here. I've managed a team in Bristol. I've always wanted to do my coaching badges, and never.
I was about to ask. That's my next question. Was there a want for coaching badges? And because this, you can just do it. It costs a lot, obviously, not being sponsored by anybody, but it's potential. Is there something out in Singapore that you've ever looked into about do it there, or is it?
I've not looked into it here. I looked into it in Bristol when I was there, and it was just the price. The price and the time, like to.
The commitment.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. To do it was too. It was a bit too much whilst settling in Bristol and having bought a house and all that stuff. But maybe when I'm older, I don't. Maybe the want for it will pass then. But I do enjoy that side of the game, so I'd like to do that if possible. But yeah. Anyway, back to Gary Lineker.
Something that Gary Lineker's never looked into. He was never interested in his kind of coaching side of things. But after Leicester, so Everton defending league champions, signing for 800,000. 40 goals, 57 games. He's there for one season only. Can't play in Europe, though, at that point because of a Hazel disaster. English clubs are banned from Europe, and an FA Cup final loss to Liverpool means he comes away with no league title, no Europe, no FA Cup. In the FA Cup, he did score against them, took the lead, and he outpaced Alan Hansen.
Alan Hansen. Oh.
They both had their career on match with, didn't they? Seemingly Gary Lineker may still have his career, but Alan Hansen just kind of just went, you know what? I'm done. 2014, he left. And
can't win anything with kids. That killed him, that comment. That was the start of a downfall for Alan Hansen, I reckon. So I find it interesting, that Everton season for Lineker, though. 57 games in a season, and they weren't in Europe. Like, I'm trying to think, what does a club do now? What does a Premier League club do now in a season if they're not in Europe?
You do 38.
Yeah.
And then if you're in the FA Cup, if you've got replays, third, fourth, fifth, quarters, semi-final... So you could probably play about 10 games in the FA Cup.
Okay.
And then you've got League Cup, you'd probably say it's a bit less, but yeah, it's quite a lot without any Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, the first thing
that's... Is the first division about points, 20 teams though?
Let's have a look. Probably 24.
85, 86 in English football is what that link has taken me to. Here we go, first division. Liverpool won it. This is very tense in Merseyside at that time. 22 teams in the league.
Okay.
Yeah, so 85, 86. Liverpool win it. Everton second, West Ham third, United fourth, Sheffield Wednesday fifth. Relegated, we have Ipswich, Birmingham, and West Brom.
Okay.
Let's see who we got. All we've got is managers or anything like that. Let's have a look.
Just while you're looking that up, then. Having a quick look at Lineker's page. Lineker consistently stated that since his retirement from football that the Everton team was the best club side he ever played for. Which is odd, because I would have assumed it would have just been Barcelona.
Yeah, we need to try and get a look at what that Everton side was. Because obviously they were league champions the year before, but if you could, like, from your knowledge of Everton at that time, what have you got as another player in that Everton side?
Not much.
Okay, so he won the Charity Shield in 1985, so we've got this here. So we've got Neville Southall in goal, Gary Stevens, Kevin Ratcliffe, Derek Mountfield, Pat van der Haal in defence, Trevor Stephen, Paul Bracewell, Peter Reid, Kevin Shreedy, Graham Sharp, Gary Lineker, and on the bench, coming to the bench of Alan Harper, John Bailey, Adrian Heath, with Howard Kendall as manager. Poor dear me.
Yeah, I know. It's not.
I know that is going to be part of that is my ignorance at not knowing them as names. But yeah, you know, we'll go to Man United. They beat Man United, so we got as a Man United fan. I don't know if this we have any name recognition here. We've got Gary Bailey, John Gidman, Arthur Alberston, Norman Whiteside, Paul McGrath, Graham Hogg, Brian Robson, Mike Duxbury, Mark Hughes, Frank Stapleton, Jesper Olsen, with Alan Brazil, Chris Turner, Remy Moses, Peter Barnes, and Clayton Blackmore, managed by Ron Atkinson.
Yeah, there's. I recognise a lot more names in that Man United team than do the Everton team. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Hughes, incidentally, who he partnered up front with at Barcelona.
Yeah.
So, manager at the time, moved to Barcelona, was Terry Venables. And he partnered him, Hughes and Lineker up front. So, that's where he makes his debut in European competition, because obviously Leicester hadn't qualified for it, being flipping and flapping between the first and second division. Everton couldn't qualify for it. And then Barcelona, so he made his debut against Racing Santander, and he scores a hat-trick in a win over Real Madrid during his time there. And I've got a vague memory of this, and it says Lineker played in Barcelona's shock home and away defeats to Dundee United. Is that a thing you...
No, no recollection of that whatsoever.
So he's managed by the end there by Johan Cruyff, and he's fallen out of favour because he decided to play Lineker on the right of midfield. That, I now watched little of Lineker, but it doesn't seem like he's got the overall ability to be positioned on the right side of midfield.
No, he was a goal poacher, right? That's what I think everyone knows Gary Lineker as. A man, fox in the box, I guess, would be the perfect description of Gary Lineker. Pouncing on those loose balls. Was this Johan Cruyff trying to implement some sort of total football with Gary Lineker on the right and floating inside? I just can't imagine it, but yeah.
No. And it mentions here that after his time at Barcelona, with 42 goals and 103 La Liga appearances, Lineker became the highest scoring British player in the competition's history, later surpassed by Gareth Bale. Now, there's a bit of similarity between Gareth Bale and Gary Lineker in my mind. So, both started with a club in the Championship or First Division, so Southampton and Leicester. Both have played for Tottenham, both have moved abroad to Spain to play, and both have ended their career in foreign lands, Gareth Bale in the MLS and Lineker in Grand Prix 8. And overall, for a career, haven't played that much in the top division in England. So Gareth, I think they both had about 6-7 seasons in the top division in England. So, you don't seem convinced.
I'm not that convinced, no.
I'm not saying play style, but just their career trajectory and path. Gareth Bale far outweighs what his achievements, what Gary Lineker achieved, because Gary Lineker's only achievement in English football was when he came back to Tottenham, for the almost ironic of facts. So Gary Lineker comes back to England, Alex Ferguson. It seems to be a common thread now. Alex Ferguson attempted to sign Lineker to partner Mark Hughes, but Lineker instead signed for Tottenham. Imagine that now.
That is bonkers.
Both clubs vying for a striker, and in reality, you're vying for our striker currently.
Yeah.
But times a player would choose Man United over Tottenham or Tottenham over Man United now?
I think 9 out of 10, and Man United get chosen above Spurs.
Because you're just going to pay silly money.
Yeah, I think we'd pay silly money. We'd still have the club reputation, I think, plays a part of history. I'm not saying we've done more success than Spurs in recent time, but I think that plays in, unless that player, the 1 out of 10 that doesn't sign for United, given the choice, is a player that just really wants to live in London.
That's it.
That's it.
The only grab we've got is that it's only the only reason you get a player because he loves London.
Yeah.
Wants to go out in the West End.
I mean, let's be brutally honest.
I'd say it's a closer run thing than that. I'd say more often than not, it would be choosing Man United over Tottenham. But in current status as well, because Tottenham, who's going to own the club? Who's going to manage the club? And, you know, is Harry Kane going to stay? It all kind of leads to a bit of a kind of uncertain atmosphere, whereas Man United is somewhat more settled, although in that early stage of that settlement. But I'd say 6-7 times out of 10 choosing United, I'd say. The thing is, with Tottenham, they don't get involved. Like Levy almost explicitly said, I doesn't get involved in bidding wars.
Yeah.
Just avoids it.
Fair enough.
So, but Gary Lineker, he comes to Tottenham and spends three seasons there, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, three seasons there. Three seasons, wins the FA Cup in his penultimate season, I think it is, 91, where Tottenham beat Nottingham Forest. In semi-finals, where they beat Arsenal, you know, Gary gets a couple, Gazza gets that long-range free kick.
Yeah, lovely goal.
In the final, we have Gazza gets himself injured, gets a big old cruciate injury.
Ouch.
Him and Gazza leave Tottenham at the end of that 92 season before Premier League starts.
Yeah, we touched on this, didn't we, in the Premier League? Mm.
Well, I don't think we'd realised that Lineker was in the same bucket.
Yeah, I'd love to have seen Gary Lineker in the Premier League, just for a couple of seasons before he went out, but we didn't get to see it, yeah, and he moved to Japan. That must have come so far out of the blue for everyone.
Yeah, it doesn't really touch on it, so he accepted a 2-year contract offer from Nagoya Grampus 8. Apparently, Blackburn Rovers, so we talked to him this other week, second division side, Blackburn Rovers, just been taken over by Steel Baron. What a title, Steel Baron. Jack Walker had tried to sign him, but he declined. 9 goals, 23 appearances, very injury impacted, and he retired. But apparently the media were speculating he'd come back for a playing career at Middlesbrough or Southampton, to really add to that Gareth Bale link to go to Southampton.
And also, that's quite links to Middlesbrough or Southampton. So he's going to move north or south in the country.
Yeah.
Like, nothing in the Midlands where he's actually grown up and come from there. No. No. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. But, and then, obviously, was very good for England, right? Golden Boot winner in the World Cup.
It's 86 World Cup. We have 88 Euros, which was abysmal. I think England had lost all three group games. Nothing to write home about, because when in your history have you ever heard of a Euro 88?
Yeah.
No one mentions that in England.
No, that's... I'm gonna look at the. I'm gonna look at Euro 1988. West Germany hosted it. Netherlands won it.
Four teams in it. Something.
Eight teams and eight host cities. So each team had a city. That's bonkers. Soviet Union came runners up. Let's have a look to see if there's match officials, tie break.
Apparently, Gary Lineker was suffering from hepatitis during the tournament. That's one of the reasons why he maybe performed poorly.
Okay, we didn't score... No, we scored two goals. We scored two goals. Gary Lineker didn't score any. We finished bottom of a group with Republic of Ireland in it. Soviet Union won our group. Netherlands came second. Netherlands ended up beating Soviet Union in the final. Republic of Ireland came third with one win, one draw, one loss, and a goal difference of zero, which is amazing to see. England... Three games played, no wins, no draws, three losses, two goals for, seven goals against. Ouch.
And speaking of Republic of Ireland, in the 1990 World Cup, it's during the tournament we played against Republic of Ireland, and that is the match where Gary Lineker defecated on the pitch.
Yes, yeah.
And scooted around and cleaned himself up.
Like a dog.
And yes, like a dirty dog, scooting his bum around.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that obviously that World Cup is famed for the semi-final against Germany, where we lost on penalties due to a go for Chris Waddle, Stuart Pearce penalty misses, I think.
Yeah, that was Chris Waddle over the bar, wasn't it?
And Stuart Pearce saved.
Stuart Pearce saved, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
But so we equalised in that match and then it went to penalties, but the line from Three Lions with the lyric "When Lineker scored" is from that match.
Ah, okay. Nice.
So, as of now, he's the fourth top scorer for England. We have Bobby Charlton, Rooney and Kane. Rooney and Kane obviously come afterwards. So, at the time, when he retired, he was 48 goals, one short of Sir Bobby Charlton's record. And now, Graham Taylor is a kind of a character I'm not too fond of, just from much an outsider in history worth looking back on, because... Looking at his England side, it seemed a bit... He was the one who substituted Gary Lineker in his final match when he could have got a penalty. It was a later penalty that Alan Smith took. And then looking back at Graham Taylor, there's like Carlton Palmer getting in for England. It seemed a bit kind of... I don't know.
Odd.
Functional, yeah. Yeah, you get, because there's that clip of... When Gary Lineker is substituted by Graham Taylor, he's just kind of like scowling at him, walking off.
Yeah.
In the strongest emotion that Lineker seemingly mustered on a football pitch. Talking about Gary Lineker's red and yellow cards, I feel like that should be a stat, an ongoing stat. Maybe not as explicit as that, because it would then go away, but the player who's in maybe Premier League who's yet to be booked. Because surely there can be players yet to be booked in their career. At some point, like they start from a youth career and they make their professional debut, what's their first? Like you never see it. First booking as a professional player, do you?
I think you would. I think you would now. If it was live on Sky, I reckon they'd put up a little thing on the bottom that would be like, "That's his first booking as a professional player," or the commentator.
Have you ever seen it though?
I've never seen it. No, but I think they.
But it must have happened though. You must have seen people's first bookings. Like you got Garnacho and Palestri at United, who are coming in their early years of their career, must have a chance of not having a yellow card yet.
That's true. That is true. So, what you would like to see a sort of rolling stat for the person that's not gone the most amount of minutes, not getting a yellow card?
I don't want minutes. Hate minutes of stats. I'd say just games without.
Ah, so Palestri comes on for 2 minutes of a game. Is that a game without a yellow card?
I don't like minute stats because I always have to then divide them.
Clarifying here. Is that a game? Mm-hmm. Is that then a full professional game that he's not got booked in?
I would take the minute stats after the event. I go, oh, it's 10 games each. Well, let's have a look at the minutes. I don't want it straight up. I want to be spoon-fed with games, and then I'll look at minutes if I want to. But there's going to be someone out there who's got reached the age of, 23, 24 and not been booked yet, surely.
But who? Let's have a guess. Who in the current Premier League squads, someone who you think is around 24, 25, who do you think would never have been booked in a Premier League match?
Excluding goalkeepers, by
Excluding
the way.
Goalkeepers, and let's say they have to have played semi-regularly in that team. Who would you think? No one jumps to my mind.
No, I'm thinking someone who's doing well and has a lot of possessions, like a Man City, for example.
Yeah.
Imagine it's not going to be him, but someone in that Jack Grealish ilk where they're kind of getting fouled more than they foul, but he would have got bookings because he likes a little bit of stuff. But someone like that, kind of maybe wide attacking player, so you're not doing lots of individual duels.
Like an Eze?
Maybe like an Eze or an Elise, something, but from the Palace, they're having to kind of grind and get through. I'd say someone a bit better.
Is why it's too difficult, because everyone I think of, he definitely would have got one card at some point in his career.
Let's have a quick look, see if I can find anything.
Maybe someone is recording this, Josh, and we're just not looking. We're not looking in the right places.
I went on Who Scored, and they have it with a list of people who do have yellows. Harvey Elliott, 26 appearances so far this season, no yellows.
Okay, but has he got one previously in his professional career? He went on loan to Fulham, who would have been a gritty, try and get stuck in your face team. This is what I mean. I think it's a lot more difficult to name someone.
Yeah, he's received. He has got a yellow. So he's got a yellow in the Champions League. And a yellow in the Premier League. I don't know why it's saying zero there. It's annoying. Maybe someone like Mo Salah's there. I don't see Mo Salah getting involved too much.
Yeah. He's got one. Take your shirt off. That's a yellow card.
He does like taking his shirt off.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think it's definitely more difficult now. You look back in Gary Lineker's era where some of the challenges are just brutal.
Yeah.
And you're not getting booked for it. Kevin De Bruyne, you thinking he's getting many yellows?
Yeah, it's not about how many he's got, Josh. It's has he had one in his career?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to pull something out of this. Received one this season.
I would say someone like... No, he's definitely... No. Maybe like a holding midfielder who literally just passes the ball.
He can't be in that position. There's always a bit of a... Like a Leon Britton type previous.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in that role, you're just going to be caught on a counter or something. You've got to act. It's got to be someone who doesn't engage as much in that defensive work.
Yeah.
I think that's one for takeaway. Anyone who's listening, just have a think. If there's anyone you want to propose has got... There's going to be someone out there who's made a few appearances, but what's the most we can find who's never had a yellow card in their career?
Josh is our social player. Yeah, Josh is our social media manager. Will post this to Twitter and see if we get any responses and thoughts. I like it. Yeah.
But back to Gary. Winston Lineker. England. I'm always annoyed for him that he didn't at one point have the goal scoring record, didn't at least level with Bobby Charlton. But it's been going to be absolutely smashed out of the water by Harry Kane now.
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah. So then we go on to his media career afterwards.
Yeah, where I think most people know him as
I'd say they think it's all over was also for me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they think it all over, because I remember when he took over from Dez on Match of the Day. Mm-hmm. It was sort of out of nowhere. I think a lot of people who's going to step into the shoes of Dez Lynam? He's such an icon and a legend and part of Match of the Day. And then Gary Lineker stepped up and absolutely smashed it, did a really good job. And we've probably got a similar question now, right? Who's going to step up and, if the BBC keep Match of the Day, who's going to step up and do it if anyone wants to? But anyway, that's another topic, probably.
I'd like to think that Gary Lineker will continue and this will all be resolved. But
yeah,
it's going to be someone, I imagine they would want to mix it up in terms of diversity at the same point, in terms of a female presenter or someone from a different background. So, yeah, I'd like to think it's going to continue to be Gary, because he's now the longest serving host of Match for a Day. Okay. He's done lots of stuff around it as well. He's because he's just an absolute consummate professional. He's done, if you see him on the Open, he's done kind of a Grand National. He's obviously done I Think It's All Over. He gets involved in, he does Sports Personality of the Year, doesn't he? He hosts that. Yeah. And he's all done the bits all around. He's got a media presence. So he's on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and different kind of programs like that. So he's just, it's Ted Lasso. He's also been, but I've not watched any of it yet.
See, I've watched Ted Lasso and he's not, he is in it as a cameo, but it's like a little snippet to a studio where they're commenting on Ted Lasso being hired. It's not like he's talking to the characters.
Right, so it's kind of just him and his job, and kind of like he's just there doing a quick scene, okay.
Yeah.
Not too much real acting.
No. But they're talking about a script around Ted Lasso, so it is acting, but it's just acting as his job. So, yeah. What, interestingly, with this whole thing that's going on at the moment with Match of the Day and the BBC, it's made me realise that he's not a BBC employee. He's just a freelancer.
Quite often that is the case, I think. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that's how it functions in that world, because I suddenly then thought, oh yeah, of course he does BT Sports Champions League. And if he was a BBC employee, they wouldn't let him do BT Sport.
No, you quite often find the overlap between BBC to BT. You'd have the same characters across the two, whereas the Sky Sports ones would be Sky Sports and ITV.
Okay.
Typically how it kind of works. Right. Yeah. That's just kind of what I've noted, whether that is the case. There's something behind that legally. I'll just have a look at his honours then. So we have Leicester City won the second division. Obviously, they're going to get relegated. The Charity Shield, we mentioned with Everton. European Cup Winners Cup with Barcelona in 88-89. So this is beating Sampdoria. This is where they are managed by, this is where he's playing in the right wing position, being managed by Johan Cruyff. I think who else is in that side that we kind of know. We got Zubi Zareta in goal. We got, I'm going to really hash this pronunciation, but Chixi Begiristrian.
Oh, yeah.
The Man City director.
Isn't it ex Man City director?
I think so.
Yeah, he's left, I think, now, yeah.
Yep. From the Sampdoria side, much more name recognition. We have Gianluca Vialli and Roberto Mancini up front. Yeah, 2-0. Didn't score either goals. And then also Copa del Rey, so he's won the cup in Spain as well as the FA Cup in England. Now, Bernd Schuster was in the Barcelona side. And Luis Aragonés was manager. Luis Aragonés kept managing well beyond that, and didn't he?
Yeah.
Aragonés is one of the Spain managers. So he's 75 now. He's retired now. Oh, he passed away. Passed away 9 years ago. So Fenerbahce. 08-09 was his last job. But yeah, Spain and Atletico Madrid, and lots of Atletico Madrid, actually. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stints as Atletico Madrid manager. That feels like it's a record.
I was just thinking that. Do we know or can we think of a manager who has had more stints at one club?
There is someone who's done the... Fatih Terim has done lots of Fenerbahce stints, I think.
I'll have a look. Or are you on it?
Now you go for it.
Fatih Terim, there he is. He has done Galatasaray.
Oh, Galatasaray, apologies.
1, 2, 3, 4 at Galatasaray. And he's also been Turkish manager 3 times. But that's it. No 7. Nothing in there. I was going back to Gary again. I was just looking at his individual ones. Ballon d'Or runner-up in 1986.
Due to his World Cup display?
Yep. The person that came third was Emilio Butragueño from Real Madrid, which I think I've butchered that name. The person that won it, the Ballon d'Or that year, Igor Belanov from Dynamo Kiev. Yes, Josh, that's exactly the face I pulled when I read that. Who is that?
Let's have a look at Igor Belanov. Winning 5 more titles, being named European Football Year in 86. So what happened in 86?
Was it the World Cup? It was the World Cup. Belanov represented the Soviet Union at 1 World Cup and 1 year in championships. And he was then included in the list of the top 100 World Cup footballers of all time.
Oh, he was also the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup top scorer and they won the Cup Winners' Cup that year. So he's had a good World Cup and the winning the 85-86 Cup Winners' Cup.
And so he also won the Soviet Cup, the Soviet League, and runner-up in the Super Cup. Yeah, he had a pretty good 1986. Yeah, I'll give him that.
Did he have a good any time after that?
1987 won the Soviet Super Cup, and that's it after 1986. Oh, 1990 Soviet Cup as well.
Against he won the Cup Winners' Cup in 86 against Atletico Madrid, who were managed by...
I was about to say Fatim Terim.
Luis Aragonés. Luis Aragonés,
yeah.
A couple of player of the years and stuff. But so I think surprisingly for me, and I think I'd say comforting for, you know, looking at Harry Kane, who's not won anything yet, but Gary Lineker has got such a legacy with... He's revered as a very good footballer due to his individual goal scoring, really. Yeah. What he's won there isn't outstanding, is it? He's got a couple of cups, but he's still revered as a very, very good player and has gone on to excellent things in his post-footballing career.
We think Harry Kane will smash Bobby Charlton's goal scoring record.
He's already done it, isn't he? He's lived with Wayne Rooney. Yeah.
Is that, in today's age of football, is that enough in the eyes of football fans to say you're a success, or do you have to win something?
I don't think so, personally. I think if Harry Kane was to become the top Premier League goalscorer of all time, the top England goalscorer of all time, and he's already the top Tottenham goalscorer of all time, only one person does that.
Yeah.
That's a record, and whereas, can you name me all the players from the Blackburn title winning side of 95, 96, whatever it was? No,
I could probably support most of them. I could name more than a few,
but there's people who've won it and you don't remember anymore.
Yeah.
Harry Kane will go down in history as one of the greatest strikers in England's ever had and the Premier League's ever seen. It would be great if he could top it off with something else, but I think I honestly don't know if he's going to stay at Tottenham. I don't know. He may leave. Thing is, with his next move, he almost needs a dead cert to win something.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what's the point?
If he goes to
Man United and then spends 3 years, 4 years at Man United and still doesn't win anything, that's worse than staying with Tottenham in my eyes and not winning anything.
Yes. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. And then I got to think, would he be weighing up something like, I've got more chance of winning something at Man United? I mean, that's why he would move, right?
Yeah, it'll be hindsight's 20/20 in that example.
Yeah.
Because it might be that they're geared up for it and he loses in finals or, you know, an injury happens or something like that. But, and he's not going to know this fact, but you've got to put yourself into a club where you think you've got the best chance of winning something. And for me, I think that's why I wanted to go to Man City, because that almost feels like a dead cert to win something in a 4 year period. You're winning something with Man City. Pep's still there.
It's a crisis at Man City if they don't win one thing in 4 years. That's a crisis.
It's probably if they don't win something in a year.
Yeah.
When was the last time they didn't win something in a season?
Yeah, true.
There's no guarantee outside of Man City. I don't feel there's a guarantee at this point in time. But we'll see.
Yeah. Very true. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there, Josh, I think. We'll leave this one here. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. You can find us on Twitter, on the old Twitter sphere, and on Instagram. Just search for Wikipedia Wanderers, and we will be there. Josh is our social media manager, so if there's any spelling errors or anything like that, it's all his fault. But thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.